Well, welcome. This is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, well, we want to pray for you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call to make your prayer request known. You can also email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. And a reminder that we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you from getting the prayer that you need. Never give away your information. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. And we just want to pray for you and lift you up before the Lord. So 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come before you and bring all our needs and cares before you. Lift every part of our life up to you, knowing that everything belongs to you, that you are Lord over everything and Lord over every part of our life, and that you have a plan and purpose for everything that's happening, that nothing is going on in our lives that is beyond your notice, and that everything is being worked out by you for our good and your glory. And so, Lord, we come confidently before you, knowing that you are ready to move and act in our lives, to work in us, to conform us to Christ, to meet our needs, to help us, to strengthen us, to build our faith, Lord, to use us to share your glory with the world. And so, Lord, we come today to lift up these needs, to bear each other's burdens, as you commanded us to do, knowing that you are a good and gracious Father, ready to receive and hear from all of us our every need. And for this, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We exalt your name this day. We pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God just to get ourselves focused and centered on the Lord before we enter into prayer. And we've been looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and this is a book Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. This is a church he had started and only got to spend about a month with them, about three, four weeks with them, and had to flee the city because of persecution, because he was having a success and winning people to the Lord and stirred up jealousy among some of the other Jews there, and so they're stirred up the city against him, and so he had to flee, and so didn't really get to establish the church in the way that he would like. A lot of times he'd spend a whole year in a city getting the church going and, you know, making sure everybody was rooted and grounded in the Word and the Lord. So at some point sent back Timothy, his helper, to minister to the church, and at this point he's writing them this letter just to encourage them and address some issues that he, you know, hadn't had time to address. They've got some questions. If you got some questions, they're still young in the faith, and so they got some questions about what's what, and he writes this letter to help them address those questions and help meet those needs. So that's kind of the background, and probably one of the earliest letters we have in the Bible, probably dated back to about AD 50, AD 51, one of the earliest letters that Paul wrote. And so we're going to pick it up in the end of chapter 1 and into chapter 2. Just to kind of finish up what we were talking about in chapter 1. And basically he gives his greeting. I'm not going to read all of chapter 1 again. But he gives his greeting, telling them we're always remembering you in prayer. And just commending them for their faith. The good reports that he's heard. That they're living the faith. That they're being faithful to the Lord. They're growing in the Lord. And he's excited about this. And in verse 9 he says, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." And so that coming of Jesus is going to be important, because that's going to be touch on a topic that's going to form a big part of the second half of the book. So let's pick it up in chapter 2. Paul writes, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor do we ever put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone. while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. We'll stop there. So Paul is writing, and after commending them for their faith and commending them for how they're living in the Lord and how they have been growing in the Lord in his absence, he writes to remind them that, you know, this is evidence that our trip among you was not a failure, because it could have seemed that way. You know, he was only there for a few short weeks before they got chased out of the city. It could have easily looked like, oh, you know, couldn't really get the church started, get things going in Thessalonica because of, you know, the opposition there, and that the opposition was able to chase him out. And it could have been seen as a failure. If you're going in and let's say we got a mission started, we want to start a mission trip, we're going to go and we've decided we're going to go and, you know, we're going to win the people of Defiance over the Lord. Right. We've heard reports of, you know, all those godless people in Defiance. So we're going to go there and we're going to spend a year getting a real church started, getting a real strong church presence going. And we'll spend a year developing this church, growing this church, getting people trained up in the gospel, discipled, so we're ready to just really take that city for Christ. And we get there, and within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we got to leave because the opposition from the city is so immense. It would be easy to look at that and say, oh, man, that did not work out at all. We really wanted to get a church going to Defiance, get things started. We're going to spend a year there. We had plans to really get things established. We're going to get people grounded in the Lord, get them matured in the faith. We would have a really solid base on from which to minister to that city. And well, we had 3-4 weeks, and boom, we had to leave. It just, it failed. We couldn't do it. It would be easy to look at that and say, wow, that just didn't work out. And it would be easy for folks to look at Paul's trip to Thessalonica in the same way. Boy, that really didn't work. That seemed, boy, it looked so promising at the beginning. People were coming and responding to the message. And as soon as like people started responding, it seemed like, boom, all this persecution comes so bad, we had to leave. You know, sometimes what looks like to us a failure because it doesn't meet our plans is not a failure at all. Because God has different plans. And while we do our best to try to follow after God's will and purposes, we don't always know perfectly. And sometimes, you know, we get our plans ahead of his, and even when we're doing the things we're supposed to do, sometimes we want to do it in the way we want to do it, or we think it should look in a certain way, right? God tells us to start this ministry or do this work, and we do, but we have in our minds, you know, that it should look like this or look like that, and then it doesn't look like this or it doesn't look like that. It's just not working. It just isn't working. It's a failure. But God is looking at it completely differently. And whatever Thessalonica may have looked like from the outside, from God, it looked like a good start. Or let me put it this way. What happened in Thessalonica was exactly what needed to happen, what God wanted to happen. And as we see now from Paul's follow-up, that it wasn't a failure at all, that the church is growing. It's growing in maturity. It's growing in strength. It's growing in numbers. Things are happening. The reports that he's getting back are that people are turning away from idols and following God. Nothing worked out the way they wanted it to work out, but everything worked. And so often that's the case with God. You know, the things he'll call us to do may not work out the way we expect them to. It may not look the way we expect it to look. But that doesn't mean that it's not God's will. That doesn't mean that it's not God's purposes aren't being fulfilled. God's desire, his will, his purposes don't always conform to what we think they're going to look like, but they can still be a success. And Paul reminds them, you know, just because we faced opposition, well, we faced opposition in Philippi too. He said, we had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. What happened to us in your city, don't worry about it. It's not unique. We had the same problem in Philippi. Now, they were there longer, obviously, than Philippi. They got to stay for quite a while there. But he said, we've seen this before. And we're still able to come to you, and we're still able to proclaim the gospel, even in the face of this opposition, even in the face of this trial. We're still able to get this done. So don't think that just because there's opposition, just because there's trial, just because it's difficult, it was a failure. It wasn't. We've done this before. We've faced this before. We've been down this road. And what's more important to Paul is that the way they came to him, he says, we came to you. We're not trying to trick you. We weren't trying to deceive you. You know how we lived among you. You know how we worked among you. We didn't come as a burden. We didn't come asking you to support us. Apparently, he's talking about that they were working. Remember, Paul worked as a tent maker often to support himself. There were other times when others would send him support, but many times they would go into the city, they get jobs. They were bivocational. And they would work as tent makers or do whatever skills they had and earn their own keep. He said, we did. We worked 9 days, so we wouldn't be a burden to you. We didn't come to be a burden. We didn't come asking for anything. Rather, we came and we loved you and lived among you and encouraged you and helped you and supported you. And even though we only had that short time, you saw, you know, you remember the love we had among you. You remember the relationships that were made even in that short period of time. And that's something only God does. God was already working. God was drawing us together. God was making us one together. He was drawing us together in a unity that we could not manufacture on our own. It had to come from him. And so in this, Paul is encouraging them not to judge the situation from a worldly point of view, but rather to judge it from a godly point of view, to remember how they were among them, to remember the work they had done among them, to remember how they lived among them, to remember how the Spirit was moving in even in that short period of time, and saying, you know what? That's all God needs. That's all God needs. When we look at our lives, when we look at the things we're doing, the work we're doing, we need to look at it from God's perspective. The question is not, was it easy? Did we have immediate success? Did we face opposition, trial? Those aren't signs of failure or success, necessarily. Those are worldly things. Just because we face opposition, just because we face trial, doesn't mean we're failing. Just because things don't work out in the way that we want them to, doesn't mean we're failing. Just because the end result doesn't look quite like what we thought it would, doesn't mean we're failing. Just because our timetable doesn't work, doesn't mean it's failing. We need to look at it from God's perspective. And for Paul, from God's perspective, here's what he saw. Yeah, there was opposition. Yeah, there was trial. Yeah, we had to flee the city. I mean, it got that bad. But here's what we saw. When we were there, people were hearing and responding to the gospel. When we were there, we lived authentically among you. And we built relationships. And we loved you. See, those are the measures of success that God is looking for. Was the gospel truly proclaimed? And was it proclaimed in love? Genuine love for the people. Did we go and love them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we live among them, sharing that word, helping them, encouraging them? Were we authentic? Were we true to our calling? These are the measures of success. And then Paul able to look back and say, and see what those seeds accomplished, see how they've grown, see how you've grown and continue to grow in the Lord. This is how we know that God's word was planted well among you. Whatever God's calling you to do, maybe you're in a season where things are working out. You are having success. You're seeing fruit in your life or your ministry or whatever it is that God's called you to do. Great. That's wonderful. We're celebrating with you. It's joyful. We all need those times, right? We need wins. Everybody needs wins. And so we want to celebrate with you today and pray that God continues to bless and continue to work and you continue to enjoy that blessing. But if you're in a place where you really feel like you're doing what God wants you to do, you've prayed on it, you really feel like you're in his will, this is his purpose, I know it is, but boy, it is so hard. It just doesn't seem to be working. There's so much opposition, there's so much trial. Let me encourage you, don't look at it from a worldly perspective. Look at it from God's perspective. Is faith being built? Are you being genuine and authentic to the calling he has upon your life? Are you doing the work in love? As we talked about last week in 1 Corinthians 13. Then if that's the case, don't be discouraged. It may look like a failure, but it could quite possibly be a great success. We don't know until the end. The fact is, we don't know. The pastor, I've seen people come and start churches, and I've seen some that just explode out of the gate. And it looks like, man, these guys really got it going on. They're really doing the work. And it just seems like, you know, everything's working. Everything's good. And then 3 years later, you find out they folded. It's like, what happened? And then other times you come and you see a guy and he's struggling. And it's, you know, he's hard to get 10 people together to start a church. He's got 20 people meeting maybe. He's put 2 years in. He's barely moving. But you come back in 10 years and he's still there. The church is still there. They're still reaching people. You just don't know. We got to look at it from God's perspective and judge our success from his eyes. Because that's the only success that matters. Thank you so much for joining us on the Prayer Closet today. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. And remember, you can always get your prayer request to us by either emailing or texting to prayer@yeshome.com. Or you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. There's always somebody here who would be happy to pray with you. And you can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Get connected to live online spiritual coach for live online chat session. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.